Where it's 5:01, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, BT is out today. He had the Cardinal game in Pittsburgh today. Cards won 6-3, which is really good news because they tied the Cubs for first place in the division. We're at the Science Center for Science Sunset Thursdays. You can stop by and hang out here at the Science Center and get autographs from us if you want.
You can get autographs from us. You can give us that weird look when, like the kids do when they bring up the picture to have it signed. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I doing this? I don't know, but here, sign this anyway.
And then they wind up on eBay.
What does that get back on eBay?
Probably, $20,000, $21,000?
Really? Then why don't I just sign a bunch of them and sell them myself?
It's not a bad idea, Ronj.
And I did say earlier, you know, like you came through with your Stanley Cup tattoo.
I did.
You promised it for a long time. If the Cardinals trade for Mike Trout, I'm going to jump on this dinosaur's back.
I'm excited about it.
Here at the Science Center.
I want to see that happen.
Okay.
We've got Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. Send in your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Before we get to that, though, by September 21st, most of life's biggest myths will be solved, or at least tested. We know about Area 51 and the raid plan for September 20th, but the very next day, a new group will be trying to expose another myth. The event, which is titled Storm Loch Ness, Nessie Can't Hide From Us at All, has garnered more than 24,000 RSVPs as of Wednesday afternoon. The group's description reads, "The time is now for us to find that big boy. While the military doesn't pose a threat like at Area 51, the lake does. It has hazards. The lake is at 22 miles in length, over 750 feet deep, has a water temperature of about 43 degrees, and can produce waves up to 13 feet high."
Find that big boy.
Find that big boy. The time is now for us to find that big boy.
Dude, I love people. My God, I love people. That's great. I hope they find him.
Take it or leave it, more people will get hurt or die looking for Nessie than aliens.
Take it, because he's going to eat them.
They're going to drown.
He's a people eater. Yeah.
Ron, take it or leave it, you know who Kevin Byard is.
Leave it, but I feel like I just saw his name today.
You did, because Kevin Byard signed a new $70.5 million contract with the Titans that makes him the highest paid safety in the history of the National Football League. He gets $31 million in guarantees, and I don't even know who he is. Kevin Byard, the highest paid safety, more than Ronnie Lott. More than Ed Reed, more than Troy Polamalu.
That's brilliant. That's
Kevin Byard.
Hey,
your guy.
Maybe he's really good and we just don't know it yet.
Now that might be. That's the guy that got into it with Dion. Dion didn't know him either, and he got into a Twitter beef with Dion because Dion said, "Who's that guy?" And he didn't know either.
Dion Sanders, by the way, terrific interviewer. I made a face.
Yes, you did.
His when he talks to other people, and God love him, Deion Sanders, one of the great personalities while he was playing, I think, a lot of fun to watch when he was on the field. There are very few defensive players that you're fixated on, right? It does happen, really great edge rushers or linebackers you're always paying attention to. Deion was one of those guys you always had your eyes on him. Mm-hmm. But my God, he is not great when he interviews people.
No, he is not.
It is sort of painful.
So, and by the way, the Twitter beef was last year because Byard tweeted to Deion, and Deion thought that it was a fan that was tweeting to him and not an NFL safety. So things have happened.
That is really, really awesome. All right, we did talk a little bit about, I think you mentioned the idea the Mets are willing to move some guys potentially, Thor being one of them. Take it or leave it, the Cardinals will seriously be in discussions for him.
Yeah, I'll take that. And they'll finish second.
I'm going to leave it. I think they're going to have discussions, but I don't believe they'll be serious.
Okay. We appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it. The Cardinals are starting the same type of run that the Blues made.
Take it.
I'm going to leave that. because again, we have to keep in mind, and I love what they're doing right now. This is great. Give me another month of this, and I'm going to really believe.
All right.
Okay. The Blues, do not forget, made two really big changes in the middle of the season. This team is not. So I believe they're going to be in the race, but I don't think they're just going to start dominating teams for the last 2 months of the season like the Blues did.
Mike Tomlin got a contract extension with the Steelers. It will end the same time Ben Roethlisberger's does. Take it or leave it. Neither of them appear in a Super Bowl for the rest of their career.
Take it.
Leave it. They're going to make one more run. This might be the year, too.
Nah.
Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner. Got that good offensive line now. The defense is coming into their own with pass rushers.
AB said Juju's only good when he's on the field with him.
Except for that New Orleans game.
Oh.
Take it or leave it. You're cool if the Cardinals trade for Danny Duffy.
Not really. No.
I mean,
I'm not.
What are we giving up for him? And by we, I mean they.
Yeah,
if it's inconsequential prospects, yeah, go right ahead.
He's a lefty starter.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I guess you'd replace Ponce de Leon in the rotation with him because you aren't taking Waino
out. And maybe Ponce ultimately ends up in the bullpen.
Okay. Maybe Ponce is the return.
I don't know if I'm down with that.
I don't know what the Royals' thought process is right now either. I don't know if they want to go like with really – would they go with the 27-year-old Ponce de Leon or would they want somebody younger? Like would they want an Austin Gomber back?
Yeah, maybe. I know that they probably see themselves in another 25-year window. I'm sorry, Royals fans.
Woof. Take it or leave it. By the end of the season, we will be talking about both Pauls as the two best players for the Cardinals.
I think I'm going to leave that.
One of them will be. I'm going to leave it too.
Paul Goldschmidt will.
Yes.
But I still think that once Ozuna is back, yep, that he'll be more highly regarded by most of us than Paul DeJong is.
I totally agree.
Take it or leave it. You'd rather get chased by a T-Rex than trapped at the base of a volcano when it begins to erupt.
Trapped at the base?
Yeah. Well, maybe just there. Like you're.
Can I get away?
Heck no.
Probably not.
Then I'll take the T-Rex.
Are T-Rexes fast? Are they like cheetahs?
Like 30 miles an hour or
something. Yeah, but they can't grab you, so they're just running. Their only way to kill you is to bite you.
Or step on you.
And it's a pretty good way to kill you. Have you seen those jaws?
Yeah, but you got to get behind something that protects you a little bit.
Yeah, so that I would take my chances. Right, I would still take my chances with the dinosaur. You have no chance if you're at the base of a volcano when it erupts. You're cooked. You're done.
Literally.
You are literally cooked.
Yep.
Take it or leave it. There is a realistic move that would make you think the Cardinals are legitimate World Series contenders.
Leave it.
Leave it because the realistic – well, because I don't know if it's realistic to get a dominant starter. And I think that's the thing that would give them that chance.
I don't know that – okay, World Series – contenders to play in the World Series. Realistic. Now, we know things happen in baseball. But is there a move that the Cardinals could make that would make me think they're better than the Dodgers? I don't think there is. Not a realistic move.
Realistically, no. You're right.
Take it or leave it. Carlos won't stay healthy until the end of the season, so closer is number one priority.
I think I'll leave that.
I'll leave it. It's still not the number one priority. That would, for me, it would be a starter, but I don't think it's going to happen. Here's one. Take it or leave it from somebody who texted in earlier. We need to do a wellness check on Chris.
Yeah, he didn't.
Our mic dropper who was in the middle of telling us about all the bad stuff that had happened. His wife had left him. He lost his job. And he was about to tell us what would make him react like Steve Ballmer with excitement. And then his phone cut out. Do we need to do a wellness check?
Yes. Hopefully.
I take it.
Yeah, we're trying to find him.
Text us, too. 65780 if you're cool.
If you know Chris.
Yeah. Please.
Good. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Next up in the fast lane, what are the chances that the Blues repeat as Stanley Cup champions? Greg Wyshynski wrote about it at ESPN.com, and we've got the details next on 101 ESPN. Never get tired of hearing that from Chris Kerber on the Blues Radio Network on your new home of Blues Hockey, 101 ESPN. Greg Wyshynski talks about the Blues' chances of repeating and points out, as it stands, the Blues are ranked sixth in the latest ESPN NHL power rankings. They're tied for sixth with Dallas at 14-1 to win the Stanley Cup next season, per Caesars Sportsbook. The Lightning, who didn't win a game in the playoffs last season, are number one. This isn't around what you'd expect for a defending champion that returns most of its roster. The Washington Capitals were at 14-1 last summer.
So this is the thing that is always the most difficult to do, and that is to repeat in the NHL because of the amount of games you play. And I know that's one of the things that he lined out, that it's hard. You play so much more hockey than everybody else. You have so little recovery time. You probably spend quite a bit of time celebrating during the off season. Of course, you're going to get back to work. These are finely tuned professional athletes. They'll be okay. But when you play as much as they do in such a physical manner like this particular team plays, it's hard to go another season and go that deep into the postseason.
And that's why when Chicago won with exceptionally talented teams, they never won back-to-back. I think the outlier was when Pittsburgh did win their back-to-back, obviously with very, very talented teams. But I think it's also easier, Ronge, to come out of the East and be in the finals in back-to-back years than it is in the West. And I think the West now is as tough as it's ever been. When you think about Calgary, who led the conference in points last year, and you think about the Blackhawks, who should bounce back, but then the teams that were actually contending with the Blues just in their own division. The Nashville Predators are really good. Even with all their departures, Winnipeg is still a really good hockey team. Dallas has improved tremendously. So you're going to have a tough road to, A, make the playoffs, and then, B, win in the playoffs.
Well, also think about how we talked about the playoffs as they were unfolding and how all of these little things happened to, I don't want to say pave the way for them because it was still a difficult road, but having facing Winnipeg early on, that was difficult for them, but then not having to deal with Calgary, and then ultimately going on and winning the West, and then not having to face Tampa Bay. The fact that the Lightning got bounced as early as they did, it opened things up a lot for the Blues. So not only were they a good team who had a really hot goaltender who kind of came out of nowhere, not only did all of those things go well for them, but the road to get there, once they got to the postseason, opened up quite a bit. So a lot of things converged. It was a perfect storm of all of these things that happened at once that made the Stanley Cup final possible for them and ultimately winning it.
Now, the one thing that you could fall back on, as Blues fans, we hope this happens. Hopefully, Jordan Binnington will be what he was last year. If Binnington can repeat the performance that he turned in the second half of last season,
yep,
and then do what he did in the playoffs, then you're going to win the Stanley Cup again. But that's rare also. And really, with a rookie goalie, we have no idea what Jordan Binnington is going to be.
Well, here's another thing that will help them dramatically. If they fix that power play, and that's another thing that was difficult for them in the postseason, the fact that they went through the playoffs and won all of it being as bad as they were on the power play, that is crazy. It's really hard to do what they did. It's hard to win a game if you get multiple power plays and don't capitalize on any of them, because that's where most teams in the playoffs get their goals. Now, it didn't matter in Game 7 because they didn't get a power play, but most of the games leading up to it, you have to take advantage of those. So I believe that with the addition of Mark Savard, maybe that's going to help them a little bit. He scored a lot of his goals on a power play in his career, so I think that might be the intent of bringing him on staff. If they fix that unit, that could ease things up quite a bit.
Since the advent of the salary cap in the NHL, those Penguins of 2016-17 are the only back-to-back Stanley Cup winners. Between 1974 and 1992, there were 10 back-to-back winners because you could afford to reinforce what you already had. And teams like, well, first of all, Montreal just was loaded with talent. Edmonton was loaded with talent. The Islanders were loaded with talent. And then you got to Detroit and New Jersey, and those teams could either keep the players that they needed to keep or add to those players, as Detroit did on multiple occasions. Now you're more apt, especially if you win, to lose those players than to be able to add.
That's exactly right. But I think in some respects, and I would like to hear from somebody who's played or somebody who's coached, if it makes a difference, you would like to have the team the same, right? Because everybody knows each other. They all play together well, obviously. But I think it might actually help to influx a little bit of talent that didn't have to play as long in the year. To have some guys who are a little fresher. I think that
That's one of the reasons that I think Maroon won't be back, because they want to Zach Sanford, Sammy Blay, Jordan Kyrou. I think they want to get some of those young guys more opportunities to play.
Somebody who didn't have to play deep into the summer, who has fresher legs.
Yeah, or
I think that does
play
make
early
a difference.
In the season.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that could be a huge difference.
The other thing that Greg Wyshynski writes, he's got reasons why they will and will not or won't repeat. He says they will because, on average, teams that win the Stanley Cup return with strong follow-up seasons. Between 1998 and 2017, and excluding the lockout years, teams that won the Cup have averaged 102.5 points in the standings the next season. That would have won the Central Division last season. And he also says, who cares if it's not Jordan Binnington again? The Blues had a .906 team save percentage and ended up with a points percentage of .604. The key to their run wasn't just Binnington solidifying the crease, but the Blues playing worlds better defensively under Craig Berube than they had under Mike Yeo, when it looked like they were getting paid commission on every odd man rush surrendered to opponents. They were the third best defensive team in hockey last season in expected goals against, and were sixth best in 2017-2018. There's no doubt that if you play within a system, you have a much better, you have a great opportunity to win.
They played cleaner hockey once he took over. Well, it wasn't right away. It didn't happen in the first few weeks, but eventually the guys, I don't know if they got the message, whatever it is, they all started to play a much cleaner game. Remember how many too many men on the ice penalties
took?
It was like one. It felt like once a game.
It did.
I mean, it wasn't that bad, but that's just how it felt. You always thought someone's going to come off the bench a little bit too early, get in the ice, and they're going to be down a man for a while because of it. They did that way too much. That stuff stopped by the time Berube took over, and once he was there for a few weeks, I don't remember them doing that very often, if at all.
You think they're going to repeat? I don't.
I don't either, just because it's hard. It is extremely hard to play that much, that physically, and then come back and do it again.
I'm really impressed with the off-season acquisitions of Dallas. Now, they have to keep Ben Bishop healthy, but if they keep Bishop healthy, then I think that with the addition of Pavelski, that they'll be the team. They'll be my Western Conference team to beat.
The West is a pain.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the problem, is that they're in the toughest conference. They did it last year. I don't know if they can do it again. We're obviously going to root like hell for it.
Yeah.
And once the playoffs start and they're in it, which they're going to go to the playoffs again, I would be surprised if they miss out. I'm going to have that hope. You know, it's going to be in me where I think, oh, yeah, this is possible. They can do it. But it's so hard.
We're going to feel that way all year long. Coming up next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, the Cardinals are in first place, and the trade deadline is less than a week away. We'll talk about that with our friend Greg Amzinger of MLB Network next on 101 ESPN. And Greg Amzinger is with us on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. MLB Network has the Yankees and Red Sox tonight at 6. And you can watch Greg on MLB Tonight immediately following the game. And MLB Network has wall-to-wall trade deadline coverage leading up to and on July 31st. Greg Amzinger, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. No better time to jump on the airwaves in St. Louis after another Cardinals victory. This is insane what's happening.
We thought that you might like the fact that you can talk about the first-place Cardinals tonight on MLB Tonight.
Oh, I will be talking about the first-place Cardinals. This is a breath of fresh air. This is why you go get a guy like Paul Goldschmidt. Pedigree matters. resume matters. Back of the baseball card, it does come to fruition every once in a while, you know? And Paul Goldschmidt, when he turns it on, he's the type of talent that can be get on my back and let's win some games. And that's what he's doing. Homering four straight games. It's amazing what's going on right now.
This is the same conversation we had when the Blues started to play really well in the middle of the season. And we would ask, all right, this is great, but can they keep this going? Is this sustainable? Now the Cardinals are doing it. Is what they are doing sustainable for the rest of the year to the degree they're doing it right now?
Oh, the reason I say yes to that is because of the timing of this win streak and the way they're playing and where they went on the road to do this. So the timing is everything. To play like this right before the trade deadline is imperative, and they need to keep it going. They just need to keep it going through the deadline, because if they are in first place on the 31st, that front office is going to go all in. And I don't know what that might be, but they need to bolster the bullpen. I think we're all in agreement there. Will Smith is probably off the board because the Giants won't stop winning. Maybe they will, because these next few games are so crucial. Decisions have to be made. The timing of this run is so important to the story of the Cardinals of 2019. So I think if they can keep it going, the more impactful the player the Cardinals go get on the 31st.
And how impactful do you think they can go? Based on what you're reading and hearing right now, as you read the tea leaves, how impactful of a player can the Cardinals get at the deadline?
Well, they've got enough young talent to go get an established starter and a reliever. And it's clearly pitching, which is what the Cardinals want. From a position player standpoint, I'm not hearing any rumblings that they're going to go out of their way to add anyone to this team. I wouldn't be shocked if they're looking closely, if they send a scout to watch Robbie Ray pitch for the Arizona Diamondbacks. If you watch Robbie Ray recently, he's back to looking like the lefty that struck out 200 in a season. Velocity's up. He's got easy gas, good moxie on the mound. He's not, again, Madison Bumgarner kind of pedigree, but he's got better stuff than Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner's throwing 80, 90, 91 right now. He's got deception, and he's got the imposing figure on the hill thing, but Robbie Ray's got better stuff. From a back end of the bullpen thing, man, it's hard to find who to go get, because look up and down, the teams that are out of it, what do they have? Is Alex Colome a game changer? I mean, I guess he'll add some depth. Do you know who I think is the best available reliever? Because I watch all these teams right now. Well, Felipe Vasquez, I don't see the Pirates doing business with the Cardinals. I personally don't, because it's a four-year deal, $32 million that you're going to take on. He's going to be the back end of the Cardinals' bullpen. I don't see the Cardinals getting a guy like that. There's a guy named Scott Oberg who's the only guy that's dominating in the bullpen for the Colorado Rockies right now. Look at the Rockies' bullpen. Everyone has an ERA over five. It is awful. Wade Davis, no team would touch him right now at the deadline. Not one. Scott Oberg, a former UConn Husky, is out there at the age of 29 and dominating. So if the Rockies, who are definitely out of it, are going to get any kind of young talent in return, look, they're kicking the tires and trading Charlie Blackmon, which is talk about a game changer. If the Cleveland Indians get a Charlie Blackmon, all of a sudden we're going, okay, then we like the Indians as much as we like the Strohs. So I think a guy like Scott Oberg, again, that's not a frontline, big-name closer. It's not what the Cubs got in Kimbrel, right? But he might be even better than what they've got in the back end right now on the north side of Chicago.
Going back to Ray for a moment, what do you think it takes to get that done?
I'm going to say, you know, so many people think that it's the Dakota Hudson dangle him because, you know, they already sent off a young lefty, or a young righty in Weaver before. They've done business with this organization. So, Mike Hazen and his group in the front office, they know all the talent in the Cardinals organization. They know what they're dealing with here. And I think both sides are happy, right? I would say both sides are happy.
Yep.
Carson Kelly's kind of it. He's doing a great job. Weaver was really good before he went on the shelf. I'm going to guess, because the Diamondbacks are being as competitive as they are, this reboot is not taking long, fellas. They've got good pieces. I don't see this team dismantling. Do I see them moving Robbie Ray? And is that Greinke? If they eat a little money, absolutely they're going to do that. But they expect to be in the mix for the wild card next year and the year after that. So they're going to want someone that's either close to the big leagues, a prospect close, or already in the big leagues. And I don't know if Hudson is someone you would even consider moving for a guy like Robbie Ray, because Robbie Ray's contract situation, the answer would be no to that. So I think the Diamondbacks are going to be tough. They're going to be tough on this, and that negotiation is going to give – they're going to walk away winners, because that's the thing. This is a seller's market for sure, man. Everyone knows with the waiver deadline being gone, this is the only time to make deals. There are no free agents, man. Everyone, players are afraid to be a free agent. They're signing extensions left and right. So to go into the winter meetings and think you're going to reshape your roster, you've got another thing coming. So it's a seller's market. If you've got an asset, you've got to really pay for it. And I don't think the Cardinals are going to go deep with big league talent, but they'll give a couple prospects no doubt about it to get a guy like Robbie Ray, who I think takes them to the next level. I think that's the kind of guy they need to get over the hump and push the Cubs back. With Robbie Ray, the rotation isn't as good as the Cubs. I still don't think it is. But collectively, the way this team is playing right now, they still could edge them out and win the Central.
Greg, do you think that put yourself in the shoes of another general manager that's negotiating with the Cardinals, and you know multiple guys, you work with several guys in Dan O'Dowd and John Hart. The fact that Luke Voit has had success, Carson Kelly has had success, Sandy Alcantara was an all-star, Oscar Mercado is tearing it up in Cleveland. Does the fact that these players, A, won at Memphis, and B, are the guys that the Cardinals have traded are having success, does that make you more apt to be interested in a Cardinal farmhand because of what those guys did?
That's a great question. Absolutely, Randy. Yeah, you're not selling me a lemon. You know, I mean, there are front office GMs that have bad track records. I can't say it on the phone right now, but because I deal with all these guys that used to be GMs, they'll tell you who you just don't want to call and talk to because you're not trusting a single word coming out of that guy's mouth. And John Mozeliak and his entire entourage, they are honorable deal makers. And to watch these players go, and maybe there wasn't a spot, and, you know, guys are blocked up in the big league level. They put them in positions to succeed. I mean, Oscar Mercado is one of my favorite young players to watch right now, hitting second behind Frankie Lindor every night with the Indians. He's been terrific playing a position that he didn't play with the Cardinals in the minor leagues. So Voit, obviously, people look at that as a miss. I don't know if he had an opportunity, if the Cardinals had the at-bats that he needed. And who would have thunk it that the Yankees actually did? So the Cardinals are not trading away junkers at all. So, yes, it makes them a more honorable team to deal with because all of these guys, you know, look, at the end of the day, you want performance from guys that you even give away. It makes you look good [S2] Yep. [S1] As a GM. You want them to hit. You don't want to clearly lose a trade. It makes you look bad when the guy that you got stunk. But you do root for the best for the guys that you're trading away. There's no doubt about that.
We know what the Cardinals should do and what we hope they'll do. What do you think the Cubs and Brewers are going to do?
You know, the Cubs are a tricky team. I wouldn't be shocked if Charlie Blackmon was either a Cleveland Indian or a Chicago Cub.
Wow.
I know that sounds crazy, right? Hayward's actually played much better this year. Albert Elmora Jr. is a good, solid player, but I think they look at their team and they go, we can get more production. And they can. I mean, Charlie Blackmon is a game changer for a team that needs a bat. And there aren't many teams. If you go around all the playoff potential teams at the moment, that there's this glaring vacancy somewhere in their lineup. There aren't many teams like that. I mean, the Brewers have one at first base. Aguilar hasn't hit at all. I mean, if the Giants consider themselves a player, then they have many holes, even though all these young spare parts are carrying them at the moment. But, yeah, I could see the Chicago Cubs doing something dramatic. Only because of what the Cardinals are doing right now, for how good the Dodgers are. So forget about winning the Central for a second. If you do you honestly think if you're the Chicago Cubs, you can beat the Dodgers in a series? The answer is no. The Cubs will tell you that. They're going to have to revamp. They're going to have to do something. I think they've tapped out in terms of money in their rotation. They clearly need another arm. They will add another piece to set up because Pedro Strop has been up and down. He's on a roller coaster ride for Joe Maddon. But, yeah, the Cubs, I see them adding a signature bat, and that's a crazy thing to even consider, considering they had musical chairs. They had so many good young players that a guy like Ian Happ was sent to the minor leagues. But this is where the Cubs are right now. And, you know, because of musical chairs, guys can get disgruntled with their role. And they end up not producing like you thought they were when they were rookies. So I wouldn't be shocked at all to see them be one of the headline teams come the 31st.
And along those lines, by the way, Jed Hoyer announced today that they're going to bring Happ up, and he's going to play outfield but could see time at second base. I guess they like David Bodie there. But if you're going to make a move, you're trading Kyle Schwarber, aren't you? If you're going to get a guy like Blackman, you're moving Schwarber.
You are. You have to move Schwarber. And if you're going to move Schwarber, the likely destination would be an American League team. Good for him. I like him a lot. In spring training, he was really mad at me because I've talked a lot about how he's a DH playing in the National League. That's an unfortunate thing. I feel bad for the kid. He had no control over what team drafted him. He tried his best to play in the outfield. He should be playing first base, but on that team, you're never playing first base because they got a future Hall of Famer over there, Rizzo. So he's tried his best. He's really worked hard to get in good shape, but he's going to be a defensive liability there. He needs to go to an American League team where he can just relax and be the next Jim Thome, because that's the kind of raw power this guy's got. They got to move Schwarber, and if you're an American League team, that is a very attractive piece, because being defensively deficient is a distraction. To let this kid relax and just only have confidence and think about his next at bat, he could be a superstar. So I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Kyle Schwarber get moved.
It's something that I think National League fans may not be aware of as much, but sometimes when you have spent your whole career, 4 or 5 years or longer, maybe you've got an 8 or 10 year career, and you've been in the NL playing a position, and then you have to go over to the American League and not play a position, and you just hit, and you don't get a chance to forget about hitting and then go out and play the field, sometimes that's hard for them to do. Adam Dunn is an example of that. He had a really difficult time going from the NL to the AL. People think it's super easy, but it isn't for a lot of guys.
No, but the difference I'll say is Adam Dunn was a college quarterback. He was a stud athlete, as big as he was and lumbering as he was as he ran. He never looked as awkward in the outfield and had as many, bad video moments, gag reel moments as Kyle Schwarber. And Schwarber has tried his best, but in a big market like Chicago, it's talked about all the time, his bad defense. So he's improved, but I just think it's something that he would like to not think about. I really do. Adam Dunn went over and played first base. It wasn't terrible. He was never going to win a gold glove in left field or right field or first base, wherever they put him when he's with the Reds. And he didn't like it. He wanted to play in the field. Jim Thome told me it took him a while to get used to it. So I still think if you want this guy to live up to his full potential, it's clearly not going to be as a catcher, which is how he was drafted coming out of IU. Put this guy at DH and let him just grind every at-bat. You're going to see 40 homers.
Hey, Greg, before we let you go, speaking of never living up to his full potential, Troy Tulowitzki retired today. It wasn't a disappointing career, but from a fan's perspective, we missed so much because he never got a chance to really show us everything he could do. He only had 5 years where he played more than 140 games, and he could have put up so many more numbers if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And this is when I think of a guy like Troy Tulowitzki. I think to myself, once again, I'm hell-bent on never seeing Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame, because this is what happens to players who don't cheat. Injuries happen. And PEDs, they don't just let you hit 70 home runs. What they do is they get you back on the field. It helps you heal quicker, okay? So Troy Tulowitzki was on the Hall of Fame highway after the 2011 season before he decided not to do steroids. If he would have done steroids, he would have stayed on the field, and this guy would have mashed. He would have been a 40-homer perennial shortstop. He's won a couple gold gloves in his career, I believe. He would have been the next Cal Ripken with more power if he would have done steroids. So I'm sick and tired of the garbage, people going, well, Bonds and Clemens were Hall of Famers before they did steroids. Well, no, wait a minute. If they didn't do it, they would have aged and been on and off the field and rebranded themselves the way Troy Tulowitzki did. Troy Tulowitzki, after after that season, we looked at him, and every single time we saw him come to the plate, we go, man, what a great player. Just, he can't stay on the field.
Yep.
Yeah, he just can't stay on the field. And that was part of his brand, okay? We never thought of his greatness anymore, front and center. So, to me, when I see a talent like this, who was one of the top five players in the game, which is what he was, in 2011, he was one of the top five players in baseball. For a guy like that to never reach his full potential because he played the game clean, it's a shame.
Who's going to get Noah Syndergaard?
Wouldn't it be crazy if the Yankees did it? If you ask me, that's why Stroman hasn't been traded yet. Stroman is such an obvious, especially after his start yesterday against the Indians. The dude was a stud. Seven innings, one run. ERA under three now. He's from New York. He would love the spotlight. Talk about a guy that would eat it up. He wouldn't be nervous at all, and he'd stand there for an hour at his locker talking to all the media. So he's perfect for the Yankees. He's a guy they should go get. Why haven't they done it yet? Why haven't they done it yet? Because they want Noah Syndergaard. And to see Thor walk onto the mound, the place would go crazy. It'd be the closest thing we've seen since Clemens went back to the Yankees. I know that sounds crazy, right? Sounds crazy, but to have a starting pitcher get that much fanfare, I think if the Mets are willing to do it, which I still don't think they are, I think that Brody believes his team will be ready to win it next year. If they're willing to do it, the Yankees would be, that would be the story.
I hope they get him like during a day game so that we can hear Susan Waldman say, "This is unbelievable. He's in Steinbrenner's box."
Oh, Susan Waldman. She's a gem, man. Have you ever met her in person, man?
I have, yeah.
She is lovely. Nice. She loves the game, and she can't hide her enthusiasm for it. And I think it's great.
It's fantastic. Hey, we know that you're going to be on the air next week on deadline day. Do you expect everything to be compressed in the net to that day, or do you think things are going to heat up a little bit before we get to deadline day on Wednesday?
We will see moves be made before Wednesday. And do not think that that means Wednesday is going to be slow. Do not think that. I am forecasting absolute chaos on Wednesday. You must tune in. The 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, there will be chaos. I will be on from 1 p.m. through to 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, the day of the trade deadline on MLB Network, hosting all the coverage. We've got all of our insiders. They'll be working the phones in their offices. It's a wild TV show. And once we get close to 4, I think we go like 45 minutes without a commercial break. So it's just chaos. We go from one office, camera goes into Rosenthal's office, then we go to Joel Sherman, what do you hear? And then we go to John Paul Morosi, what do you hear? And then we go to John Heyman, what do you hear? It's just, it's so much fun. You got to watch it. But because of the way the climate is now and how baseball has changed the deadline, you will see teams that aren't in the mix for the postseason making themselves better for the next 3 years. So this is not just get ready for the September push. This is we're trying to get ready for 2020 and 2021, which is going to make it chaotic. It's going to be so much fun.
It'll be great. We will be tuned in. Tonight I know you have Yankees-Red Sox at 6 o'clock St. Louis time. So at about 10:15, 10:30 St. Louis time, we'll watch you on MLB tonight after that 4-hour and 15-minute Yankees-Red Sox game.
It's totally fine. By this time, I'm used to it. The only bummer is we always air a BNET game. What does that mean? We air a game that goes into the markets of New York and Boston because we're airing that nationwide. Mm-hmm. We get blacked out of New York and Boston. So that game usually goes 2 hours and 40 minutes. So I'm doing MLB tonight for New York and Boston for another hour before you even see me in St. Louis. It's so much fun.
That's great. You're the best, man. Thank you very much, and we'll talk next week, and I'll be in touch.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you, brother. See you later. That is the great Greg Amzinger, MLB Network on 101 ESPN.
He's lucky there's not going to be any rain out there tonight.
Yeah.
It's 75 and clear.
Nice. Thor to the Yankees? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oof. Not if you're a Mets fan.
Eh.
Think of all the things that have happened over the years if you're a Mets fan that make you want to sell your hat and pick a new team.
But you definitely get stuff back. The Yankees have a good system and a lot of good young pitching.
You do, but you know what's really disappointing about having a player like that is that you have a true great and you can't do anything with him.
Right.
That's that you had that guy available and you can't win with the guy.
Well, they got two of them.
Yes, they do.
It's amazing.
And for a minute they had like four.
Right.
But those guys kept getting
with
hurt.
Harvey and Matts.
Yep.
Crazy. It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, one of the first things you learn in radio is to treat the microphone as if it is always live. Well, that applies in the fast food industry as well. That's next before, with all due respect, on 101 ESPN.